Boy, the founders were right when they told us to keep an eye on our freedoms. Protect them. Because when they're gone, they are gone. We are talking about our freedom to own guns, to hunt, to fish, to be a part of our environment, be a smart part of it, be a, you know, be good stewards over our land. But we're watching out. There's this initiative in Oregon, okay, very, very liberal state, and it's drawing national attention because there's some key questions asked here. This debate over this Oregon ballot measure raises questions about the future of wildlife conservation overall. Going to go into it today in great detail. Tom Opry is going to join us. He is a filmmaker with The Real Yellowstone. Jeff Crane as well of the Congressional Sportsman Foundation and Marie Newmiller too. A lot to talk about here today when we talk about protecting our right to enjoy our wildlife in a responsible manner. Today on Voices of Montana. So wildlife conservation, rural rights, and this initiative coming out of Oregon, right? And I think we hear Oregon initiative and we're already going, what's this? You know, what are they trying to do now? And this is something to talk about here as well. And I'll have our experts talk about it as well. But essentially, Initiative Petition 28, okay? It's a citizens initiative, and that's part of this conversation as well. They also call it the Peace Act. Give it a name and then lie about what it is. It proposes removing these exemptions from Oregon's animal cruelty standards. Okay. That sounds okay up top, in one way, but this move really could criminalize traditional hunting, fishing, and ranching and livestock production activities. And this is what I think people are nervous about as well, that maybe there's other agendas behind this initiative petition 28, right? That are not necessarily, well, completely in the forefront. So let's welcome our guests here today and talk about it. We got to get real honest about wildlife and conservation. Well, in fact, we got to get real honest about everything we're doing nowadays. Tom Opry joins us again, founder of Shepherds of Wildlife Society, director of the documentary The Real Yellowstone. That's been showing all across Montana, all across the West, a ton of places. Welcome back, Tom. How are you, sir?
I'm doing great, Tom. It's great to talk to the wonderful and great people in Montana. And up here in the Flathead, we didn't quite get as much snow as you, but maybe an inch or two less. And we obviously didn't get the wind, thankfully. But, winter came back with a vengeance.
Yeah, it did, yeah. And that's okay. We're used to it, but it did wear us out through the weekend. Also, let's welcome Jeff Crane, president and CEO of the Congressional Sportsman Foundation. There's a number of caucuses in there. Our great governor of the state of Montana is a member of the governor's caucus. In fact, leads the governor's caucus as well. Jeff Crane, welcome to Voices of Montana. How are you, sir?
I am good, Tom. Thanks for having us. Two blocks from the U.S. Capitol, bracing for bad weather here today. Doing great otherwise.
And Marie Newmiller is with us too, Western Policy Representative for the Congressional Sportsman Foundation. And Marie, good morning. How are you? Where are you at?
Good morning. Thank you for having us on the show today. I am based out of Northeast Washington, and we also found some of the snow that's been blown around.
Well, we've no complaints, though. We need the moisture, and like I say, it has been eventful here the past few days. Tom Crane, let's start with you. This initiative, Petition 28, what is it? What are we concerned about here?
So yeah. The initiative, you want me to start, Tom?
Yeah, Tom, go ahead.
Okay, yeah. I'll go ahead and grab this. So the initiative is, let's boil it down. It basically is going to criminalize all hunting, fishing, ranching, all basically well-established, accepted animal husbandry policies. It is draconian, to say the least. It is dangerous, for sure. And it's a bellwether. The antis, if I can call them that, the animal rights extremists and whatnot, are using Oregon as a test to kind of see how this goes. I don't think they expect it to pass, but they are getting close to the necessary signatures to get this on the ballot for November of this year, and we all have to take this seriously, not just for Oregon, but across this country, because like I said, this is a bellwether. We can expect this kind of things to grow and become more commonplace, and And so we've got to beat it handily, but it is very concerning just the people, that there are enough people, the 117,000 people are going to sign a petition that they agree this is a good idea. Is to me, it's crazy. I wouldn't have thought this could happen.
Well,
so that's the high-level stuff. Marie can give you a whole lot more about the details.
We will. We'll go into it, too, because I want to know, when you talk about criminalizing animal husbandry, and you're talking about it plain as day, there's probably language in there that it very much points to that. Let's get Jeff Crane on here, president and CEO of the Congressional Sportsman Foundation. It's congressionalsportsman.org for more information. Jeff, talk about your organization and then why, you know, what you think needs to be done here. What are your concerns? You've probably seen this down the road or in the past, and you might even see it down the road. Give me all of that as we get going here.
Okay. Well, thanks again. So the Congressional Sportsman Foundation is based in Washington, D.C. We're 36 years old. We are the tip of the spear when it comes to policy affecting sportsmen and women, both in Washington and now in all 50 states, really focused on that kind of work to make sure whether it's regulatory work or legislation. And we do it in a bipartisan way. We do it with caucuses, both in the U.S. Congress and all 50 state houses. And as you mentioned, the governor's sportsman's caucus that has 29 of the 50 governors right now, that Governor Gianforte is the chair of that caucus. So we have direct access to the elected officials that are making policy. And I think this IP-28 is a reflection on some of that success, or a reflection on a lot of that success, because the antis haven't been able to push anything through Washington in the congressional statutory way. They do occasionally, in the administration, but it doesn't last, doesn't stick with the 50 state caucuses. They haven't been able to really do a lot. So they're changing their tactics and going straight to the voters with emotion-driven rhetoric and lies to try to get things on the ballot, what we call ballot box biology, to circumvent the wildlife professionals at the state agencies, the time-tested true success of our North American model of the uniquely American system. And it is something that's expensive to go and battle. It takes media and just a large turnout. And you're working with, candidly, voters that may or may not be informed on the issues. And so this is their tactical move now. And again, we can talk as the show goes on some of the things that we're proposing to try to head this stuff off. But coming all the way back around, you don't have to be in Oregon to be concerned about this ballot initiative, because it is going to be a domino that could just start to tick over around the country if it ever gets any kind of traction.
Yeah, and a lot of these groups have been using this issue to try and achieve other agendas here, and one of those is an attack on our Second Right Amendments, and that's part of it here. But we're facing something, you know, on the surface that is also, as Tom Opry had talked about, it's criminalizing the way we make a living in our rural America. Marie Newmiller, Western Policy Representative, also with the Congressional Sportsman Foundation. What's in this? What is in IP-28 that sends up these red flags?
I think in some ways the simplicity of it sends up the flag, because it doesn't give any thought. It removes all animal cruelty exemptions, and it's very easy to pass around a petition for signature saying we want to end animal cruelty. But it doesn't dive in deeper into what that actually means and why there are exemptions for cruelty laws currently, and that how those can be humane. It takes away our ability to manage wildlife, to deal with conflict with wildlife, and also takes away our ability to find healthy food resources. And they do it with such a broad sweeping stroke that there's nothing left. It creates a sanctuary state in Oregon for animals, is one of the things they've shared as their goal. But in doing so, you're hurting other animals because now you can't do the management. We can't hunt. We can't fish. Protecting endangered species becomes almost impossible because the department, Oregon's Department of Fish and Wildlife, loses their ability to do their work around the North American model of wildlife management. And I think if the proponents were being honest, you would start to see that there's really a lot of issues with just simply removing those exemptions. And it actually will impact fish and wildlife more strongly than the model we currently have in place. And it will be less humane.
I'm going to peel into that a little bit. So let's just say it's in the world of agriculture, okay? What exemptions, and they're probably similar but also different from state to state, you know, is there something specific when it regards to cattle or even wildlife that is exempted for purpose that would go away and cause troubles, Marie?
So you have in some of the ranching where you're debudding horns or docking tails, and those are done early and in a humane way to help protect the wildlife, or sorry, not the wildlife. In this case, it would be the cattle or the livestock in their confined spaces and protect them from later injury. Those practices would be removed. Mm. Also, any breeding practices would now be classified as sexual assault.
I'm sorry. Did anybody laugh when they first heard that one?
Hey, Tom, let me jump in here and bring it back home to us, Montana.
Tom Oprey again.
What they're covering here, and it's like Jeff said, I mean, this is a bridgehead. This is an absolute affront to humans' ability to manage landscapes and the animals in them. Our North American conservation model, our modern stewardship of ranching and farming, and they're out there sitting on the, you know, front of the grocery stores around Portland with these ballot initiative signature sheets going, do you believe in bestiality? No, sign here.
Yeah.
Now, folks, you know, we think about this being as crazy as it is, but at the end of the day, when we talk about hunting and fishing in America, you know, if you look at any data from the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, less than 4 or 5% of the population buys a hunting license in any given year. Okay, here in Montana, we're a little bit better. We're at about 17% right now. But at the end of the day, last time I checked, elections are won with 50% plus one vote. So that means hunters in Montana, if we see a ballot initiative, and we've seen things like this when it comes to trapping rights. We've seen people try to ban trapping on public land 10, 15 years ago, and those particular ballot initiatives got over 40% of the vote. So it's a little scary to see what they're doing in Oregon because, you know, if this is enacted, and again, there's not, I don't know what the total number of people is. Maybe Marie can tell us how many people are buying hunting licenses and fishing licenses in the state of Oregon, but I would assume it's less than 50%. So, folks, this is real. And when they get this passed in Oregon, if they do, and they're going to places like the East Coast, going to, you know, various very liberal states, Illinois, California, well, this is real. And elections have consequences.
Boy, watch how they're couching some of these petitions and these initiatives. They're not exactly telling the truth about it, I think. We're talking about this initiative IP28, which is in Oregon. We've already heard our guests talk about how they are misleading about this. They're out there, hey, are you opposed to bestiality? Yeah, well, then sign this petition. Right? It's got to go deeper than that. Our understanding has got to go deeper. And that's why I'm glad you're here. Thank you so much for joining us again here today on From Montana for Montana, Voices of Montana. Our guests are Tom Oprey, the founder of Shepherds of Wildlife Society and director of the documentary film The Real Yellowstone, which tells a real necessary story. Shepherdsofwildlife.org for information there. Jeff Crane, president and CEO of the Congressional Sportsman Foundation, congressionalsportsman.org. We'll talk about how long they've been doing great work in Washington, D.C. Jeff's been there since the turn of the century, actually. I guess we can start saying that now that we're a quarter into it. And then also from the same organization, Marie Newmiller, the Western Policy Representative from the Congressional Sportsman Foundation. Let's take a call here because it's going to be right in tune with what we're talking about. Dave is listening in Galata. Dave, thanks for hanging in. Thanks for listening today as well. And love to hear you from you on this one.
This is crazy, but I guess when I say that, I want to express the seriousness of this. These are the same people that tried to pass the anti-packing bill in Jefferson County in Colorado, and the same way. And it cost the sheep industry a lot of money to make sure that that failed. And people cannot be oblivious to what this is. These are professional fundraisers. These are professional money launderers. They find a not-so-worldly group to push this thing. And the way this thing is written, it will affect everything with 4 feet, 2 feet, or fins in the state of Oregon. And it will start a cancer in the West that is unbelievable. And as idiotic as it sounds, people have to stand up and get against this thing and make sure they vote it down and put this to bed.
Dave, in your circles, is that happening?
Well, it did, like for the Colorado one. I don't know. I know it cost me some money in the state of Montana, and what we had to do to support this. And there's things you can do, if it gets on the ballot, there's some things you have to do. You have to send out signature cards and everything else, make people aware of the initiative so that they vote it down, and make sure people are aware of the scope of the initiative. And that's the biggest thing. If you don't want to hunt, don't hunt. But you shouldn't have the ability to tell somebody else they can't do that, or they can't harvest red meat proteins, or they can't selective breed, or they can't go fishing. If you don't want to do that stuff, that's fine. But these people want to tell everybody how to do it, and it's all about the money. It's all about the money. That's the sad part. And you've got to get the state of Washington in this and every connecting state that's involved to lobby against it.
Dave, thanks for those comments. We're gonna roll off of those right now. And you can hear the passion. Dave from Galata as well, a friend of the program, a personal friend too, and very, very much well-known in the sheep industry and on the national level too. Thanks, Dave, for teeing that up for us. And now I'll throw it to you, Tom. Here's kind of what I want to talk about a little bit. You have been out in terms of talking with people, kind of in these smaller group meetings or larger as well, but you've been taking the real Yellowstone, the documentary, to movie hall, and then setting up these kinds of conversations. So I want to have you, help us understand what people understand at that level. And then, Jeff, I'm going to go to Washington, D.C. and ask what our representatives understand at that level. But, Tom, please, first.
Yeah, and hey, I just want to say thanks to Dave. I mean, Dave's spot on.
Yeah.
I mean, the reality here is that, I've traveled over the world doing films and trying to give rural people a voice because they don't have one. And if they try to have one, it usually gets, even on social media, it gets drowned out by the urban masses. And that's the issue there, right? Even in Montana today, we are not a rural society. Most people live in town or cities. We're an urban society. And because of that, we have a disconnect. You know, people wake up in the morning, they flip the switch, the lights come on, voila. They don't know where electricity comes from. They don't care as long as the light's on. They walk in the bathroom, flush the toilet, out of sight, out of mind. The next big decision today, is it a chai latte or a caramel macchiato? Well, unfortunately, folks who live in the rural landscape don't have those options. And, at the end of the day, again, like I said, 50% plus one wins at the ballot box. And when people don't understand what's at stake here because they've been sold a bill of goods, because they are very disconnected from nature, disconnected from rural lifestyles. And again, we see this all over the world. I mean, I've kind of gotten to the point right now where I start to think that rural people need to have their own Bill of Rights because they don't have representation. And thankfully, we have organizations like the Congressional Sportsman's Foundation, with all 50 states having state caucuses. And by the way, I'm pretty sure it's the largest caucus in Congress, in U.S. Congress. And we're looking to screen the real Yellowstone in Congress, in the Capitol, coming up this spring or early summer. As you said, we screened it all over Montana. We've been able to talk to these rural producers, these hunters and fishermen, and folks just, it's a matter of understanding what's going on and then getting out there and being, expressing your views and your viewpoint. Now, Oregon's a, is a different kind of cat politically, mm-hmm. right? Yeah. And it's kind of like King County in Washington. It dictates the rest of the policy for the rest of the state, and it does the same thing, you know, between Portland and the rest of Oregon. It's the same story. You got a whole bunch of people there that are being sold a bill of goods that just don't understand the realities on the ground when it comes to good land stewardship and good wildlife and habitat conservation. But at the end of the day, folks, we've also got to support our legislators, and we've got to support our delegations in Congress and make sure that they understand what's going on, because I, like Jeff, think this is probably the greatest threat to our modern conservation model today.
Jeff, what is the footing like in Congress?
So as I said at the start of the show, Tom, there are no real threats. And I know that's a sweeping statement in terms of this kind of thing going on in Congress or with this administration and this administration. So Dave was exactly right. This isn't an Oregon issue. These are national and international animal extremist groups that are probing, they're testing, they're trying different tactics. They're picking Oregon because it's a favorable state. But this is just part of a long-term strategy. They've got crazy ideas. They want to force it down all of our throats. We don't have the freedom to choose whether we want to hunt or not hunt or eat meat or not eat meat. And so they are now taking this directly to the people. We call it ballot box biology. The last person, in my mind, that should be making decisions in our case on wildlife, but certainly on any ranching or animal husbandry type stuff, is a bunch of uninformed people, largely suburban and urban, that don't have any connections, as Tom Opry said, to the rural landscapes, don't understand it. And, you know, we've got to just continue to stay organized. We've got to keep staying on top of it. And that's what we do at the Congressional Sportsman's Foundation every day. There are people that work for us across this entire country. Marie's a great example up in the Pacific Northwest. But we have people scattered around this country to be closer to those things that are going on in those regions. So it's not operated out of D.C. other than for our work in Washington, but our people are all across the country. And you know, we keep our fingers on this pulse to try to be ready, be organized. And unfortunately, we have to play defense. I like offense a hell of a lot better than defense. But these folks out there in the extremist world are playing their own version of offense, and we've got to be organized, and that's what we do.
You know, I remember when they were talking about tearing out the dams. They provide so much power. They provide irrigation. They help us manage water flow. There's a small group of really radical environmentalists that I don't think they have very good vision. And when they were talking about it many years ago, I thought, oh, that's just such a ridiculous idea. Nobody's even going to get on board with that. Well, then came the Biden administration, and they went behind closed doors and crafted an agreement and put that agreement out there. And that agreement's on the table, and a judge just approved that agreement. That could happen here as we're talking about Initiative Petition 28. These groups out of Oregon call it the Peace Act, but it's going to remove exemptions in their animal cruelty statutes, which will actually criminalize traditional activities like your hunting and your fishing and your ranching and your livestock production. We're getting into this one today in great detail. Tom Opry is with us, founder of Shepherds of Wildlife Society, works pretty close with the Congressional Sportsman Foundation. He's also director of the documentary The Real Yellowstone and has been an advocate for just balance when it comes to wildlife and rural and urban needs. Jeff Crane, president and CEO of the Congressional Sportsman Foundation. That's congressionalsportsman.org. And Marie Newmiller with us too, Western Policy Representative, as we'll get into this a little bit. Thank you guys both, or all three, for being here. Marie, we didn't get a chance to hear from you. Dave gave some great comments here. I wanted to get into, you know, your knowledge and relate that to us, the North American model of wildlife conservation. There are some key elements there. I think a lot of people, if they understand that, would support. But your comments to what a producer is talking about and their concerns about this.
Thank you. So the North American model of wildlife management is unique.
to the world, and it's primarily in the United States and Canada, and it's how we manage wildlife as a public trust resource for the benefit of all citizens. And the way that we fund that conservation work is through the American System of Conservation Funding. It's a user pays public benefit. Hunters and fishers and the manufacturers of the products that we use are happy, contribute the funding that creates the beautiful conservation that our country has. And this initiative petition would take a lot of that away. By criminalizing hunting and fishing, you lose the funding and the dollars that come from those sportsmen and women for conservation. But I also want to touch on something that Dave had highlighted, and that the proponents of IP28 had initial efforts out of Colorado, and that's where they came from. They actually moved to Oregon to start this effort for IP28. It's before been known as IP3 and IP13. This is the third iteration. But they moved to Oregon because of the general ease of getting an initiative petition onto the ballot and the lower threshold. And they have admitted in interviews that their goal isn't necessarily to win at the ballot this year. They know it will likely fail. But they want to start the conversation and start changing people's mind to move us away from that valuable North American model of wildlife management and our American system of conservation funding into something else. But they haven't identified what they would use. They have said that need breeds innovation, and that once we get there, we'll figure out how to solve it. After collapsing a time-tested, very valuable model for wildlife management and impacting ranching communities as well.
There's much more here, and I got a comment, and I want to have you come back with this one eventually. I'll throw it out there right now. Can our state and federal constitutions protect us from such unconstitutional ballot initiatives? And that's one of the key issues here, and we'll come back for that question. But Greg is called in. Greg is listening in Kalispell on, I love that signal up there, KOFI. It's 1180 AM, 104.3 FM. It's such a buster. Good morning, Greg. You're on the air here on Voices of Montana. Good to hear from you, sir.
I'm an avid hunter, and I don't agree with the initiative, obviously, but I will say that I'm totally opposed to trapping for fur bearers. I think it's totally uncalled for in 2026. And I'm not talking about wolves. I don't care if you kill them, coyotes. I'm talking about fur bearers, pine martens, river otters, and those. I don't think there's populations need to be trapped. There's not that many of them. And I think it's just a blight trapping for fur bearers. That's what I'm talking about. It's fur bearers. There's no reason to do it. 2026, not 1800. Trapping and snaring is a cruel way to kill an animal. And I'm a hardcore hunter and gun owner, and I'd just like to say that trapping for fur bears has got to go.
Thank you, Greg. I appreciate that. And to each his own. I mean, but we are protecting individual rights for everybody. And that's part of the balance, I guess. And maybe Tom or whoever wants this one, I'll throw it back to Tom Opry again, founder of Shepherds of Wildlife Society. That we see kind of mixed reactions here as well, because we want, you know, healthy wildlife. Whether we understand what it takes to get there is one thing. We also want to protect our freedom. So I'm hearing from Greg a little bit about some mixture regarding everybody's freedom when it comes to our participation with our wildlife. Your comments.
Yeah, no, and I can appreciate what he has to say, but at the end of the day, folks, everything in nature is programmed to overpopulate the carrying capacity of the land. That's called species survival. Look at humanity. You go back 500 years, we just certainly didn't have 8.1 billion humans on the planet. Same thing happens with wildlife. And when you tell wildlife managers, you know, our state fish and game agencies, the federal agencies, that they can't have the tools they need to manage wildlife, which hunting is a primary, you know, purpose of that, is. And so we basically are telling our wildlife managers that they have to balance the checkbook every month, yet they can't have data from Tuesdays and Thursdays. Well, last time I checked, it's pretty hard to balance my checkbook if I can't have all the complete information. And so we have to realize that we have a huge impact on this land and on this planet. And ultimately, we want to make sure we're good stewards and we take care of it. So I think those individuals that decide that they have a very defined, very emotional, you know, basis, you have to sit back and say, hey, wait a minute, maybe you need to open up your mind here a little bit. And that's what we do with our films. You know, these films that we put out, The Real Yellowstone and some of the other ones, people say, well, we should do away with quote-unquote trophy hunting. Well, at the end of the day, you do that in Africa, places like Africa, you all of a sudden devalue the natural resources for rural people. Same thing with our elk here in Montana. And so when you do that, you get these unintended consequences. In some cases, it can be excessive numbers of wildlife. Look what's happening in the eastern United States because of the urbanization and subdivisions all over the place. But they've got white-tailed deer populations and turkey, wild turkey populations at historic highs. And what does that lead to? A lot of conflict, things from having animals in people's yards to, which we see obviously in places like Helena, Montana with the mule deer, and the FWPs had to go in there and try to deal with some of the conflict that's arisen out of those population increases. But more importantly, things like car deer collisions in the eastern United States. We know it causes billions of dollars in damage and the loss of life. So we just need to be really smart about how we manage these resources. And when you have something like IP28 or any of its reiterations over the last three sessions that they tried to get this thing on the ballot, you're basically telling our wildlife managers that, one, they can't manage the wildlife resources. And two, when it comes down to it, what's the alternative? Are we going to have taxpayer dollars pay for government sharpshooters to go out and shoot the excessive populations? Are we going to have more human-wildlife conflict? Are we going to lose more lives? It's all real, okay? And so at the end of the day, I think we just need to be really smart about what we're doing, because I myself do what I do because I want to make sure that we have good stewardship principles when it comes to taking care of the land. I want to make sure that we're really good managers of wildlife and wildlife habitat. And I want to make sure that at the end of the day, we leave the place better than we found it. I mean, I don't know about anybody else, but I'd like to have vibrant wildlife populations. I'd like to have healthy ecosystems. I'd like to have clean drinking water. And all of this is related to that. And when you have groups like this IP28 outfit, you know, at the end of the day, you know, we're going to be, you know, tying a lot of people's hands. We're going to be making a lot of people into criminals. And at the end of the day, it's really, you know, not only is it un-American, it's unhuman.
Tom Opry again, the Real Yellowstone documentary film producer, author as well, and Shepherds of Wildlife Society founder. Jeff Crane, who is president and CEO and has been for, I think it's going on like it's over 20 years. That organization has been around twice that long, of the Congressional Sportsman Foundation, and you can find them at congressionalsportsman.org. Let's get back to this question, Jeff, about can our state and federal constitutions protect us from such unconstitutional ballot initiatives?
Yes. The short answer is yes, and I'll tell you exactly. There's a couple of things that the Congressional Sportsman Foundation and some of our other partners are really focused on, and the promising one is every state has their own constitution, and we have been behind an effort to put the right to fish and hunt and fish as a constitutional amendment in all 50 of the state constitutions. Currently, 24 states have it. Florida was the last one to add it in 2024, and we won that with a overwhelming 68% supported that. And so this is one of the tactics. When I said earlier, I like to play offense rather than defense. If you put this in your state constitution and ensure that the proper wildlife professionals are making wildlife management decisions rather than an uninformed public or elected officials, this is what the real key to the right to hunt and fish is about. And we've got some more that we're working on this election cycle. It's a challenging, expensive, time-consuming job. If you have to qualify for the ballot, then we have to go just like IP28's crazies are trying to do and turn out the vote, and you have to win. And so that to me is a really good way to do it. The other thing, which is really concerning also, Tom, that we see from the antis is they're stacking the wildlife commissions at the state level with ardent anti-hunters, which is just an abomination considering that the sportsmen and women pay the lion's share of the money for wildlife conservation through the excise tax on sporting goods, through the license fees and permits. And so we are also addressing that challenge and problem, because I think that's going to become another tactic that the antis are going to ramp up. And so, but the constitutional right to hunt and fish 100% is something if the state you live in doesn't have that, we've got playbooks. We're working on that. We got to get the elected officials behind that. to just ensure that the proper wildlife management and these time-honored traditions will carry on to our kids and grandkids.
Welcome you back. And just to get some final thoughts, Marie Newmiller is with us, the Congressional Sportsman Foundation, Jeff Cranes, president and CEO of that organization, Tom Opry as well. Marie, about 45 seconds or so, give us some final thoughts, please.
Yeah, I think one of the biggest things I'd like to highlight is that this isn't just an Oregon problem or a Portland problem. This is an ongoing effort that we're seeing throughout the country. And I know that sportsmen and women and ranchers tend to be a very modest group, but this is an opportunity for us to really share our voice and share our stories and our lifestyles and tell the truth about hunting, fishing, shooting sports, and ranching and agriculture.
Boy, that's one thing Tom Opry is also all about. Tom, what are your final thoughts?
Yeah, you know, folks, I think you need to pay attention to ballot initiatives. They're real. We got to educate our urban voters, you know, the people who live in town. And we got to tell that real story of conservation like Marie was talking about. And that's what we try to do with these films we're doing through the Shepherds of Wildlife. But, you know, the greatest conservation success story in the world in human history has happened right here in North America, folks.
Yes.
You know, and here's the deal. If people don't understand how it works, we're going to lose this. Again, 50% plus one wins at the end of the day at the ballot box, and not all hunters show up or not all ranchers show up to vote. I wish that was the case, but, you know, I really want to impress something upon the viewers here today. Conservation is not a mindset. It's not an emotion. It's an act. And, you know, wildlife doesn't survive, because people leave it alone. You know, that's completely different to what we've done over the last 100-plus years. You know, wildlife survives when people value it. They manage it. They live with it. You know, I like to say Mother Nature doesn't practice conservation, the wise use of a natural resource.
Tom, I'm gonna have to cut you there. I appreciate that. I mean, that's really good final thoughts. I want to save some time here for Jeff Crane, though, president and CEO. Jeff, pick up where Tom left off then.
Well, he's exactly right. Yeah. And what I can just say in my final thoughts is, if you care about conservation, if you care about hunting and fishing and rural lifestyles, stay informed, get engaged. And the easiest way to do it, go to the Congressional Sportsman's Foundation.org. There's an interactive map on our homepage. You can click on your home state. It takes you 10 minutes, 5 minutes, 3 minutes, and you can see what's going on, who's engaged, that's on our side. And stay informed and show up and vote. Your vote does matter.
Boy, I appreciate that. Get in the game. That's certainly what we need to do here more than ever. Tom Opry, Jeff Crane, and Marie Newmiller. Appreciate the work you guys are doing, and appreciate chatting with you here today. Be well, okay?
Thank you. Thank you.
Thanks for joining us for the podcast, and join us weekdays live from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. for more Voices of Montana on great radio stations all across our Treasure State.